Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O, double U, double E. For the sweetest hit, well, we got the recipe. Been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gon' show you how. We gon' break it down. We gon' break it down.
Oh, man. Hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5, 6 people, you know, booking me, blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale, like I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey, I spoke.
You are a real artist. You
I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book. I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that He gave me, and He wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, A.K. Disco,
hey.
A.K. Disco, 3 times.
Hey.
And I'm big to her. I don't do no physical harm to her.
Mm-hmm.
I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from her. And they act right.
Whoa. Okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all.
Yeah. See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl. The one you heard about. You fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles too. We are Kate Pickles Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron Hill, who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers, we've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything. And, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music is.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening, good evening. This is A-T-A-Z-P, live on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Z Appellate Court, and we're doing Night Court 4 tonight. We welcome Paula Patton Ross, Music Maven, and Dr. Fuentes. It's a ladies' night in Night Court again. How are all of you doing this evening?
Good.
I'm just fine, thank you.
Fantastic.
And I know, I see Paula's number. Paula, are you there?
Yeah.
You might need to get another location, kind of breaking up. Again, 623, Paula, are you there? Yeah, you sound all garbled, like you're taking Listerine tonight. You are breaking up. Oh, okay, I'm going to go through the formality. Yeah, I still can't hear you. You might need to call and do it again. What I'm going to do, I'll put you on mute and wait till you pop back in again. What we're going to do is a DACA number that's in place, and I will read the number, and I will go into the first case. And then after the first case, I will come back in, and we will talk to Dr. Fuentes and Music Maven on what they do, and especially this is how I met them, too, through Blog Talk. The DACA number for tonight is the year, the last two numbers of the year, which is 09, and the date, which is the day, which is 2/11, is the 211th day of the year. And we go by case numbers, and this is case one, and it's 001. The first case for tonight on Night Court 4, the first divorce directly related to September 11th, terrorist attacks, has been filed in New York City. The husband's office was on the 103rd floor of the World Trade Center. He spent the morning at his girlfriend's apartment with the phone off and no TV on. When he turned his phone back on at 11 a.m., his wife called all excited. "Are you okay? Where are you at?" He said, "What do you mean?" "I'm in my office, of course." Thus the lie begins. And I want to ask you ladies, should she be getting a divorce or should she be happy that this joker was alive and missed it? We're going to go in the order and rotate like we're in volleyball. So I'm going to start with Dr. Fuentes.
Okay.
Your opinion?
Are you being serious about this? Because
this is a news item that I picked up, and this is serious.
Okay, because I'm serious about it. The September 11th event, you know, I'm looking at the whole issue, I guess, before I even got to that question you were talking about the lady. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not even looking at that she needs to get a divorce or anything. It's a good thing that he is alive.
Yeah.
Because basically, you know, life is more important than being silly or whatever matters you have been through. Life is important as it is. As far as the September 11th event, I remember working downtown and frightened myself at the time. So I look at it as very serious. And regardless of what this young lady was going through with her husband at the time or her boyfriend, whatever the nature may be, is that life, to me, like I said, this is my third time saying, life is more important than anything else.
Music Maven, what's your opinion on it?
Well, I think the marriage, I don't know who filed, if it was the man or the woman, so I guess that would kind of tip the scales a little bit. But I happened to work at the World Trade Center for the first bombing. And I know how the woman must have felt when she found out that her husband was okay and then was very skeptical when she gets a phone call saying, "I'm at work." I mean, that would have been a little bit unnerving. But,
yeah.
You know, I don't think there's really a connection to September 11th. I think, yeah, he got snagged maybe the first time. You know, divorce is about a lot of different reasons, and we just don't know what the other ones are. So, you know, I think, you know, they, if it was an infidelity, I think there's ways that if you have a strong life, you can work that through that. But if you don't, yeah, then divorce is on the way, right?
Very quick. Okay. So we have, I guess I'm going to be the third tiebreaker. I'm waiting on Paula to call back. I think, like Dr. Fuentes, I think life is more important. I think that that she should be glad that he was alive. Yeah, he was messing around at the time and was lying that he was all right in his office when everybody knew around America at that time they had been bombed and things had happened. So, you know, he was out of touch with reality for a while during his little fling. But I think it's a good thing that he was alive. And he wasn't there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all there.
Okay. What I'm going to do is ask Dr. Fuentes. Mm-hmm. I met her through her son, Antoine Smith. He's a jazz musician. Also, he's been on the show. We loved him. And Paula is back on the line. Paula, are you there?
Thank you.
Paula?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, barely. I hear you. We hear you better than we did before. At least I understand. It's like you're rigidy, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a bad connection. Paula?
I'm sorry, but...
Okay, Dr. Fuentes, tell me exactly what it is that you do. You wrote a book, and I want you to explain it.
Oh, okay. The book that I have written, basically, I had written it and published it in 2007. And the book is called Autism, based on autism, autism spectrum disorder. And it's a research book instead of what I call a personal book. Even though I have, like, a couple of pages that is talking about my oldest son named Eric Smith that has autism. The book was written in respect of all of the things that of nature that he had went through when he was attending public school because he had went through so much. It was just a catastrophe to me, and I felt that since he was at a very sensitive stage in his life where he couldn't really, like, defend himself, I had to be his defense for him. And instead of fighting people, like people think that fighting can come through physical, you can fight people through words. And I felt that, you know, me being a computer education teacher, that I understand when people are talking about layman's terms, I know exactly what that means. And when you're talking in a certain terminology to certain professionals, they seem to understand anything better than you talking in just personal, just coming off your own opinions. And so I had written this book to explain what the, you know, basically from 1943, Dr. Kanner's report, from 1943 to all the way to 2006, what is autism and why does it exist and why do we have to deal with it and why is it important to deal with it and why do our children have this if they have it. And it was important to me to explain it in, you know, medical, scientifical, and biological, environmental, so that teachers would get it.
Okay.
That's a really powerful subject. And were you also able to add your son's voice to this so that his perspective was there as well?
Yes. I just added an overall nature of some of the seminars I attended on behalf of him, and some of the nature of when he graduated. Specifically, he graduated with a diploma. That was a big thing, you know.
Huge.
To have a diploma was a major issue because there were two things that he could have obtained. It could have been the certificate of completion or the diploma. And what I'm used to getting is a diploma. And I felt that the certificate of completion was just obnoxious. And that was right. Something I did not want to see my son ever get.
Understand.
Well, good for you to have that standard set for him.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And where can we get the book?
Okay, the book is sold on pretty much a lot of online retailers, and I know that the audience is more familiar with Amazon and, you know, such things, e-books and things like that. So you can find it if you just or you can just go to my site, which is on blogtalkradio.com, and you
mm-hmm.
can type in a backslash, and you can type in DR, and then a dash, and then Fuentes, I'll spell it for you, which is F as in Frank, U, E N as in nice, T as in Tom, E S as in Sam. So it will be www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Fuentes. And I have all the links there.
Oh, good.
Okay, cool. Cool.
I'll link you up on my Blog Talk Radio as well.
Oh, good. Good. But
sure.
Do you understand why I had written that book in that way, instead of just going personal into the, you know, the life of him? I felt that there was a need for professionals that only talk in terminology.
Right.
I
think it was a great idea, really, outstanding, and I think necessary, because it really is a scary situation that so many kids have autism in. What is going on?
And it's progressing, you know.
Yeah.
It's not even increasing whatsoever.
Yeah. Scary.
Music Maven, explain
yes,
what it is that you do so people can know, you know, about your show on Blog Talk
okay.
Radio.
Well, it's called Musician Edition, and what I do for a living is I have a website called Rising Star Artists. And my job is basically to get music out of their hands and into the hands of fans. So I have a few levels of membership there. I have a social network, which is risingstarartists.ning.com. And that is a free social network so that artists can go ahead, sign up, and then we build them street teams to help get the word out. And what inspired me to do all of this is that I can tell you that as of today, there are about 13 million songs on the online retail shelves. And there are 10 million of those songs that have never been downloaded or sold. Hmm. So there's a combination of problems. One is nobody can find the songs because, you know, if you're swimming through the sea of 13 million songs, how do you find interesting music?
Yeah.
And even though there's search engines and, you know, ways to say if you like this, then you'll like that, if the person's never heard of of an individual, it's really hard to make decisions by a picture.
Sure.
So I invite artists to come on the radio and I talk to them about who they are and about where their music is. And I also get industry insiders on the radio. Like the other day I had a mobile provider on with me, and we talked about the fact that mobile is going to be it's predicted to be the new internet, because especially outside of the U.S., mobile is the only access to the internet. And so there's .mobi, M-O-B-I, which is specifically designed for mobile phones and viewing and interacting on a mobile phone. And he went through a whole lot of different features about mobile. And an interesting fact about that is that it's predicted that $32 billion is going to be spent on mobile applications in entertainment this year.
Okay.
So it's a scary number, but at the same time, it's going to a few people, because the majority of the people who have talent and music never have an opportunity to get heard because they have a huge crowd to push their way through.
Okay.
So that's the point of my radio show, and also the point of my business, which is you know, I would call it marketing and promotion, but it's a little bit more than that. So I hope that is a clear enough explanation. I've never
very good.
Never had to do it that way before.
Now, Dr. Fuentes, you can get Antoine to hook up with Music Maven here.
Oh, I have already. I'm ahead of you.
You know what? He is in touch. We are in touch. I'll tell you. I don't have. I've been trying to get additional air time, in between shows to put him on. But yeah, he and I are in communication already.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I thought that was such. When I heard you say the name, and I thought, oh, good grief, what a small world.
That's my youngest son.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, I've heard his music. He is really something.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And here we go. We're going to go to the second case that I have now. I'm still waiting on Paula. I might have to double call her on one of these shoots and get her on my phone. Dr. Conrad Murray said he gave Michael Jackson propofol, which is P-R-O-P-O-F-O-L, shortly after midnight on June 25th. He said he had administered the drug several times to previously help Jackson sleep. My question to the court is, should the doctor be the only one going down for this? I'm going to start with Music Maven.
Well, I think so. I think the doctor should be the only one going down for that. I know that from what I've heard on the radio and the news programs is that his family tried to intervene, but they were, you know, blocked from doing so. So when you're getting blocked from a family member or a friend, there's usually more than just one person involved. Mm-hmm. And sadly, Michael's not there to defend or deny anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the really sad part of this all. Mm-hmm. But a medical doctor, I think, should know better and should understand you know, when someone needs help, even if they're not willing to take it, but they've definitely got to understand enough of how to wean someone off of something for their well-being, not for their personal financial gain.
Right. Dr. Fuentes.
Yeah. Well, as far as me elaborating on that subject, I always look at it as the last person that's with you should be questioned. I mean, whether it was his doctor, it could have been someone in the family. You know, when the police are doing their investigations, everyone has to respond, regardless whoever you are and whatever nature you are to the person. Since it was Dr. Murray in this case, then yes, he should be submissive to all questions, you know. And, of course, as far as I'm concerned of blaming someone, until I'm like the police to me, you know, until you've been proven, you know, guilty, then you can't really state who's to blame yet until you actually bring in all the evidence that points to
right.
the person. That's just me.
Well, for me, I think he shouldn't be the only one till they look into all the other doctors that Mike was dealing with.
Sure. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot of list names that he had, fake names that he used with different folks. And to be honest with you, the way he was operating, he was more liable than the doctors. I mean, the doctors ain't going to know, you know, Sam from Hank, but they do know General Grant and Ben Franklin. You understand what I'm saying? And I know him too. And I still like to keep a personal relationship with Ben and Frank. So therefore, I think it's a whole, there's a whole lot more people involved in this where probably, you know, somebody, I'm sure all these doctors didn't know that Mike had all these doctors.
Okay.
He might have had more than one, but not as many as they are listing up right now. So until all that's in, I'm like, this guy, this one lone guy I don't know if he could take all the blame. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
But in terms of if they, we don't, you know, he was there with him. He, you know, he actually injected him.
Mm-hmm.
Michael may have had some shady dealings with doctors, but they weren't the ones there at the time his heart stopped.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there should be a probe about doctors and the way they operate and sometimes turn a blind eye. And yes, they should be punished for that. But if you're talking a specific connection to the night Michael Jackson died, those other doctors, I don't think were there. They may have had a hand in his lifestyle, but not directly into his death.
Okay.
Right. Agreed.
Good point. Good point.
Okay.
We are so undecided on this.
Well, you know what? So is the rest of the world, so I don't feel so bad.
Well, we're looking at the evidence. I mean, I'm looking at evidence. It's called, okay, once they've done their lab work, and they've done their, you know, CCs or whatever the nature they need to do, forensics or whatever, I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, once that comes to a conclusion and they have a definite concrete evidence, then, yes, then we can say, okay, that's the reason why. But as far as I'm concerned right now, everything is up in the air because we're just going off of assumptions.
Well, and reports, that's true.
Right, exactly what's thrown in our faces, yeah.
Right, and but, you know, the way the case is presented right now, you know, the question was asked, is he the one, you know, if found, being the last person, if he's the one, then I would say yes, he should. But, again, you know, I also think all those other doctors who knew what was going on and put their personal finances in front of his health should be liable and accountable, and you know, hang out with Bernie Madoff, because you know it's just about making money. When you lose the human aspect of things, it's just really sad that that's the state of, you know, affairs for a profession you're supposed to trust.
Okay. I guess there's a next question.
Oh, yeah, there will be. Taz may be trying to reach Paula.
Oh, okay.
I saw on Larry King that Michael Jackson had recorded a song called Demerol.
Yes.
Have you ever heard this song?
No, I haven't.
It is astonishing, stunning, scary, frightening, that he had recorded the song called Demerol.
That's what it caught me by surprise that you said Demerol, you know.
Yep.
Like,
and it
go on.
No, it caught me by surprise because when I was listening to the song and heard the pain in his voice and also was watching the lyrics roll, I thought this man was begging for help.
Okay. In his
home. And it just gave me a whole different perspective of, you know, maybe, you know, the people around him had a lot more to do with his condition than he did.
Well, you know, I'm also looking at this too, you know, the road life. I guess I'm looking at the overall picture too, and I may be wrong. But in this case, I'm looking at the road life of a musician, the road life of an entertainment period, entertainer. You know, they barely get sleep, you know. They're traveling to and from. They have so many other entities that play into their whole role of just being who they are. And if you always have to keep a certain, I do believe, a nature that you have to show to the public, I believe that's a lot of pressure. And on his pedestal, I should say, his standpoint, the level that he was on had to be a tremendous stressful situation. I don't believe that any of his stresses were relieved by as he had gotten older, even from a child up. He was probably expected to be always the best, you know, at the top of his game every point of someone even looking at him, the public, you know. So he may have taken And then I may be wrong, but he may have taken that so deeply that maybe with all that, like I was talking about the road life, maybe he felt that he needed to have something to go to sleep. I mean, we're thinking about this. He wanted to go to sleep. You know, he.
That's part of it. And I agree with you that the pressure and everything he was under and the way he was treated so shabbily by the press and by people, it was just a disgrace.
Right.
Absolutely.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yeah, no.
You guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Now we can.
Okay, I think Paula's on the line. Paula, you on the line?
Oh, Paula, you're here.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, baby?
Hello.
How are you?
I had to patch her in on my line.
Oh, good. Well, you sound perfect now.
Great.
Oh, great. You guys sound clear, too. All right, let's get night court going, see appellate court.
I'm going to the third. I know they were talking about Mike, and basically the question was, should the last doctor be the only doctor to go down, Paula?
No.
You sound like me. I don't know. I think the no's have it. We were undecided. I was saying I don't think he should go down either because there's too many other people involved.
Yeah. You know, it's against the law. I don't know. As far as I know, it's a federal law. It's against the law for doctors to prescribe pain medication to a known narcotic. Hmm. Okay. Now, Michael, being addicted to pain medications and whatever, barbiturates, you know, whatever, amphetamines, they knew he had an addiction. Yet they still prescribe. And it's not just one doctor, I feel, that can be held responsible for the mania and the dementia that he experienced the last few years of his life. Although nobody forced him to take it, that's why doctors are doctors, because they're supposed to exercise good judgment. The Hippocratic Oath says they are to do no harm. So as far as I'm concerned, they should all be inside this boat, form a club, and go down together.
Okay, the third case. Mike Vick. Michael Vick has been reinstated into the NFL. He could be in the league between the first and the sixth week of play. In your opinion, and I know everybody on this court has heard everything that went down with Mike Vick as far as the dogs and everything, when should Mike Vick be able to play or should he not play? I'm going to go in order. I'm going to go with Paula first since we just got her on. Paula, what do you feel about it?
Okay. United States has a judicial system, and to me their judicial system leaves much to be desired. But the truth of the matter is that the law saw fit to punish the man. Okay? It's a two-way street. The law saw fit to punish him. He served his time. And as far as the law is concerned, that was the extent of his punishment. Well, raising children, my children are subsequent, you know, they're responsible for the actions, the consequences formed out of their actions. And if Michael Vick is responsible, well, involved with a ball club or any occupation for that matter, and I heard on the news they said, what if he was a truck driver? You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, in the industry, you know, if they do penalize their players for doing something like that, I don't know whether Mike is the first one. I don't believe he's the first one that's got his hands slapped and had to sit on the sideline. But if that's what they do, then that's what they do. Frankly, I believe because he served his time, he should no longer receive any more punishment.
Okay. Music Maiden.
I'm in Paula's camp. I think that, yeah, he did serve his time. I'm not a fan of what he did. I hope that in his incarceration he has learned better judgment and that he won't treat any living creature in the same way. And that, you know, one of the most difficult things is when someone comes out of prison is to be able to make a living, and he has a skill, and that's where his skill is, and there's not a lot of places where you can play football other than the NFL. it's not like he's a plumber or something else. He doesn't have those skills. So he served his time. He should be able to work.
Dr. Fuentes.
Well,
here we go.
I guess now I'm more into the mind of it, the state of mind. Is he mentally prepared? That's what I'm looking at. I guess I'm looking at the overall subject. You know, I'm one of those people. I go deep into the mind of it. It's like, I mean, regardless, you're right. If he served his time, yes, that's done. It's over with. You know, you can't cry over spilled milk. I agree with both of you. But the nature of him. Is he ready to play? I mean, mentally ready to play. I mean, you can't just stick someone who's been out for a while. You know, you have to prepare him before he gets into it. So, yeah, okay, if he served his time, that's fine. But I would like to see someone in the game that can play it and not going to be acting silly again. Okay, that's just the way I look at it.
I think he
isn't it the 6 weeks layoff time? Isn't that what that's for?
Not really. It's the commissioner could come in and say week two he can play. The commissioner could come in week three and say he can play. It's between that time he will make his decision. I mean, he gets to play two preseason games out of the four that they always play every year. So, I mean, like I'm saying, I think
when this case was going on or something. March
2, or something. He just the commissioner just came out with the ruling this week.
Okay, but I mean, wasn't it the time of this had taken place? Was it in 2003 or something?
Oh, the incident.
About 2 years back. Almost about 2 years back.
Two and a half years or something.
Two
like
and
that.
A half years back. Okay, because I know there's something that happened, like the female pit bull and so forth. You know. You know, something with Pernell and things like that. There was some other things that was that they.
Oh yeah, the media had a frenzy with this.
Yes.
But I feel that Mike has something to prove now.
Okay.
I know he was very, very, very determined to get back out there on the field, especially, you know, especially after he got. Got sentenced and knew what he was going to have to do. He was very determined to prove himself back. And that's one of the things he said in that, like, last speech before they, you know, put him in. So
I would know during this period that if they, you know, do decide to sit him out for the 6 weeks, I would hope that he would do his best to reestablish trust with the younger generation that has faith in him.
Exactly.
You know, put it to use. Make good use of this time. Let the media frenzy do something, you know, say something positive instead of their little hidden agenda. You know, show them doing community services, visiting cancer patients.
Exactly.
You know, something like that.
Exactly. Make him, that's what
humanize him again.
Yes, mentally. Mentally, exactly.
And I like you, Dr. Fuentes. I am really concerned about the state of mind. And I do believe, though, that they wouldn't put him in there before, you know, he was thinking, living, eating, breathing, you know, the game. But at the same time, if there's some reconciliation that he needs to go through with himself, and that's evident, then yes, sit him out.
Yeah.
Okay, case number four.
Okay.
To curb teen driving deaths. Texas has adopted a graduated license. Each year, 5,000 teens die on nation's highways. While fatal accidents involving teens are falling nationwide, Texas has dropped twice the national rate from 625 in 2002 to 419 in 2007. After completing driver's training, the young drivers will get a graduated license, which restricts driving with more than one person, no after midnight driving, and no cell phone usage while driving. There is also a campaign, Teens in the Driver's Seat. It uses positive peer pressure to deliver safe driving messages nationwide. I want to know, and I know this is going to be hands down, you agree with all this? Because I know when I was a teen, I might not agree with it. But Now that I'm older, I'm on their side. I'm understanding. So one by one, we're going with Dr. Fuentes first.
Okay. You're talking about basically, run that past me again because I didn't quite hear it. It was quite a bit.
Okay. It's teen driving. They in Texas has adopted basically restrictions. They give them a graduated license, and it also dictates that while they are driving, they have but one person in the car with them, no driving after midnight, and they can't use cell phones at all while driving.
Okay.
And I'm asking, do you agree with this law? Because after they put this law in effect, their teen driving deaths have went down.
Oh, well, that makes sense to me. Here goes that hand, that eye and hand coordination. We talking about I'm a teacher. Yeah, I absolutely agree. This is your first time. You're fresh and new on the street. You're driving behind a vehicle that is dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, how to operate it. And the you know midnight cutoff and one person driving behind the wheel. It makes sense. It's nothing but logic. Because now they're looking at everything in safety form, you know, formation. Instead of when we were brought up, it was not a lot of, or at least they weren't putting it in the media, a lot of cases where teens were, you know, getting killed or teens killing anyone else from driving, you know, or drinking or whatever they do behind the wheel. And
right.
I do feel that they are not ready. No, they're not ready to drive in full-fledged like an adult. They're not responsible as like an adult. And so, yes, I think there should be restrictions on how they drive and when they drive. Most definitely.
Music maven.
Hey, I have a question. What's the driving age in Texas?
I think it was 16, 17. That's what I remember reading. I didn't write it down because I was copying it. But I think it's 16, 17.
You
when
know,
they
I
take
don't
their,
remember.
When they take their test.
I'm going to first say that I don't remember letting my child out of the house after midnight, never mind drive a car, because their butts belonged in the house, not somewhere driving with friends.
Right.
And for a lot of different reasons. And so, I think it's a smart way to introduce responsibilities in phases, so that once you've proven yourself in one, then you're ready to graduate to the next stage of responsibility. And I also think that teens that own cars should also pay their own insurance if they can work. And if they can't work outside because the market's, you know, the hiring market's not that good right now, then they should earn that through working with the family and working for the family, whether it be tutoring or sitting with the younger sibling or, you know, whatever family responsibility needs to take place. They should earn it one way or the other because, you know, they're going to have to find that out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. The hard way.
How the world
Paula.
Works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Paula.
I have strong opinions about this. My kids didn't get their first car until they were like 25 years old, and I'm talking about six of them going down the line. I wasn't, I'm like Dr. Fuentes as well as Music Maiden. I don't think that the responsibility is their willingness to accept the responsibility of car ownership is quite developed. I think it's very immature. So I feel that until they can go ahead and buy their own car and accept that, hey, this is you, you're on your own. When they lose it, they develop an appreciation for it. If they got to pay for it, then I think they have a stronger appreciation.
I agree with
At the
with
same
that.
Time, California, I believe, has a law in place like that. My children did, however, go through driver's ed when they were in high school. I think it's a mandatory course now. In California, I'm not sure you can't quote me on that.
It is, yeah.
Whereas when I was growing up, it wasn't mandatory to take driver's ed when I was in high school. But nonetheless, because they do go through it, the children got their permit, and, of course, they had to ride with somebody having their permit. Those children who did go on to get their driver's license, they had to drive with somebody for, I think, a year, 18 months.
Right.
And there were similar restrictions. So Texas being such a large state, mm-hmm. I mean, 2-3 time zones you got to go through when we get from one end of Texas to the other. I think that's a very, very good idea, and I'm glad to see mm-hmm. that the mortality rate has been affected by the new rule.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
me
like
too.
And I like that you said the overall report is that accidents have went decreased. Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean?
Decreased from 625 to 419.
And
yeah.
That's a lot of lives saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Case number 5, also a darling girl who is chatting with me said she agrees with it. She thinks they already have that law in place in Georgia as well.
Oh.
So I guess every state is being responsible about this more and more, which is a good thing because I don't want to be hit by a teenage driver at all. I really don't want to see them. Out on the road.
Also, like Dr. Fuentes said at Music Man, you know what? My kids, when they were younger, street lights came on, bring your butt home. Mm-hmm. All right, as 12 o'clock, I don't think that they stayed out like that until they got to be 17 or 18 years old if they were mm-hmm. still in school. And by 18, I had all their clothes packed up in a little supermarket bag. I had to get out.
To the left, to the left. Everything you own in a box to the left.
You know, because they know so much at that age, and I wanted them to leave before they forgot it.
Yeah. I agree. Old fashioned. There you go. Mm-hmm. That was the way we were brought up.
Yeah.
Case number 5. Something that we all heard again. This is in the news going on now. Officer James Crawley versus Henry Louis Gates. And we all know what we're talking about when he was arrested. What, in your eyes, since all the evidence has been in so far, and we won't never really know what happened in the house,
no.
Do you think this was racial profiling or just both people jumping off the gun and getting mad and overreacting? I'm going to start with Music Maven on this one.
I think there was a lot of testosterone boiling up. I can understand why getting arrested in your own home after you've proven something could tick you off. Mm-hmm. Seriously. I don't think that, you know, I think that crosses all races. So if, you know, if I were to be arrested in my own house after I showed ID, you know, my mouth might start saying things.
Yeah.
That I maybe wouldn't have intended. And then, you know, of course, an officer, I guess they're supposed to be trained, you know, to be the rational person in the situation. But I don't know what was said, and I don't know what buttons were pushed.
Right.
And so it's really hard to lay blame on one or the other. I certainly feel terrible that it happened. I think two people definitely had an opportunity to overreact and took the chance, you know, dived in together. You know, that's what it sounds like to me.
A lot of testosterone flying around, huh?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Dr. Fuentes.
Well, you know, in this case, you can make it any way that you like. You can say it was discrimination. You can say all kinds of things. And you can always point the fingers. But I agree with Music Maven, and I can't help but agree with her, is that you do not know what was said once they were inside. No, you don't. There were no witnesses that's going to come out and tell you exactly what was said. They're not going to say that. As far as you're concerned, if you're an overall jury and they present a case to you, and then they, you know, there's a witness that's saying, okay, I heard this, I heard that, then you can sort of, you know, sum it up in some type of logic. But as far as I'm concerned, I felt like they both overreacted, and it might have been a reasoning for them to overreact, depending on what was said and what was done. And as far as I'm concerned, if I put myself in Gates' shoes, I may have overreacted as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about, this is my home. I'm insulted. This is my house.
Dr. Fuentes. Not you. Not
you. So, the other words. I was just saying, you know, to just do an overall view of it, is that they both were probably insulted. It depends on what was said. You know, the police officer
right.
was doing his job. He was called to this, you know, to this home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he comes in with the initiative of what he's taught to come on the premises and check something out. Okay, you're talking about Mr. Gates was, you know, he was on the premises. It did not look like he, I guess from what I gathered from the news, they stated that it didn't look like it was his house. He was, you know, acting a little nervous and finally gets in. So, you know, jumping off the wire, no one really knows what happened. And I think I like the overall picture is that they both apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken. You know, it was
did they apologize at the White House because they were supposed to meet today?
They were?
Yeah, at the beer summit.
I know from
there was
family,
kind of threatening about that meeting, something about,
yeah.
you know, kind of
I know from
stuff.
A fact from the notes they did say that, you know, President Obama had reached the officer, and he apologized over the phone, I guess, to him. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you're going to, you know, cases like this happen, I'm sure, every day. They just don't post.
Every day.
Yep.
Paula.
Well, I don't formulate too much of an opinion about this, and I'm going to explain why, and I hope that this will give your listeners some, you know, food for thought. The day President Obama gave his speech about what he was doing with health care, a reporter asked him about that incident, and I thought that Clinton was a smooth talker, and I'm not suggesting that our president is, you know, a con artist, but I think he genuinely gave an eloquent reply. I can't go verbatim what he said, but the way he explained the information that he got about the situation, there was nothing. I mean, the news media should have just let it go.
Okay.
Because he explained the situation so simplistically, all right, that it was an incident. He did, however, and I understand the media is developing an agenda and they're having a frenzy with racism now, okay, because of a comment that he made. But the reason why our president made that comment, and I'm telling you, I was watching it, the reason why he made that comment is because he put himself inside that person's shoes.
Okay,
and not to suggest, he didn't give any credence to the fact that racism or racial discrimination is here to stay or whether it's leaving. He just made a statement as to he could understand the policeman's position, okay, and at the same time he could understand the doctor's position.
Yes.
Okay, but he made it. He even explained about him going to take out his ID and show it. I just think that because most people watch television, I mean, I know people who, if they don't watch the 5 o'clock news, their week is ruined. Okay?
Yeah.
So for those people who are hung up on, as my nanny used to call it, the boob tube. Okay. They can watch and flip any station and they'll hear the media with their scrolling agenda, you know, put whatever spin they want to put on this incident when there's other things that we could be thinking about. And my thought was because they've blown this out of proportion, everybody should have been watching to see what Congress was doing on the floor because the last time we had a major incident, laws were passed.
Yes.
Okay, and nobody got a chance to vote. The Democrats weren't even there, and the Republicans were passing laws. And I'm not choosing any political side party right now, but I'm just saying that there are other things that we can concentrate on rather than worry about what this happened.
Absolutely.
What happened about this.
I agree.
So,
I think it was a learning experience for the president, too.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Not to get trapped
like
that.
It showed how eloquent he can quell a situation.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that in itself was remarkable.
Absolutely. He cared, you know, to even put himself in that
position. Very eloquent man.
Absolutely.
And as far as the meeting is concerned, it was kind of tainted because the policeman showed up with his shop steward and his attorney, and therefore the vice president showed up. It wasn't what they expected. Maybe the shop Stewart and the other guy that came with the policemen were there because they wanted a chance to have lunch with the president. I have no idea. Maybe they came for other political reasons or legal reasons, you know, but there's going to be still more talk about this.
Absolutely. It's like a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
It is, but we, you know, I think so. When he said the police officer acted stupidly, you know, it was just a bad choice of words, just a really bad choice of words.
Mm-hmm.
Because
he overreacted too.
He did, and I think it was because it was a friend of his. If it had been a citizen, not a close friend of his, he may not have said. Because he's usually very careful and weighs, you know, the whole issue in front of him. And he'll say, you know what, we don't know all the facts yet, so, you know, I can't comment. But this time, because he had a personal relationship, he definitely, you know, let his presidential shield down for a second.
I didn't see that news report. I just remember that during the time he was supposed to give statements on health, and he should have left it like that. If he said anything else after that news, that press conference, then he opened mouth and insert foot, because to me, I would have left it alone the way he left it with that reporter who asked the question.
And Darling's girl chatted to me and said, why has no one questioned the neighbor in the Gates incident? The neighbor who actually called the police.
They did. They did, and she's had a press conference already.
Oh,
she
that
did?
Was...
No, I missed that.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah,
she, you know, she came out and they played the tapes of what she said. She didn't say anything indicate she was doing anything other than saying, you know, I don't know if I should be telling you this or, you know.
Yeah.
I think it looked like somebody's breaking in across the street. She couldn't even tell who it was.
No.
Yeah. I think she defended that she wasn't making any racial.
She was just making.
Yeah, I heard that part of it. Yeah.
A common report that we all have done once or twice in our lives. You know, you see something that doesn't look right, you make a call.
Yeah, and that's a responsible thing to do, because if it had been somebody else, they would have been yelling at her for not calling it in.
Right.
You know, okay. You know what? They're blowing it all out of proportion now.
Absolutely. It was. It was definitely what you had said. That, you know.
But I'll tell you one thing. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, one thing I'm happy about is that there's not many, there aren't a lot of opportunities to talk plainly and rationally about race relations. Because it's been a very taboo subject, and people are afraid of speaking their minds and letting their opinions known. And as we found out, most people that, you know, talk about it, other, you know, other than certain, you know, fringe radio announcers, you know, people are really having a good conversation. It's a great conversation to have.
Strange, because yesterday watching MSNBC, there were some news reporters on there, some that also worked in the House, reporting directly from the House, and they were talking about what the guy who was the proctor heading off. He said that he was in college, and he said he had a black college roommate, and they had wonderful narratives about racial discrimination, and the whole panel agreed that it's a shame, just exactly what you said, that it's a shame that we can't have intelligent, you know, let's agree to disagree, have intelligent conversations, narratives about racial discrimination.
Really?
But, you know, we have...
And respectful ones, too.
Right,
exactly.
Right. I'm sorry. I love y'all, but we are so long-winded on this one. We basically all agreed that there was overreaction in both camps.
Okay, just call it a bad day.
Yeah,
definitely a
bad day.
Case, number six. Woman accused of running strip club in her basement in Lawrenceville, Georgia, right up the street from where I live.
Do I need to bring my attorney in, because he's not coming to me on the show anymore?
There was a 28-year-old lady arrested. There was a sign found in the basement that said $1 Jello shots, and they also found minors drinking. The woman faces a misdemeanor charge of maintaining a disorderly house. Another lady who lives with the suspect says it was a party to celebrate her birthday in a newly renovated home. Police arrested a 20-year-old guest when they said he lied about his age and was found with weed in his mouth. My question to the court is, should this lady be charged, or is it cool to do some stripping inside your own home? And I'm going to start with Paula.
All right. First of all, even if it was, let me get this out the way, even if it was a party, you cannot sell alcohol unless you have a license. So I don't care if they were a dollar shop. And if it was a party, that's the way it goes. Secondly, if I was a mother that lived on that street or the mother of that 20-year-old, I would go down her house, rip her arm out the socket, and beat her in the head with it for having my son there. Okay. Okay.
Well,
now,
I would have been right behind you.
Well, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck.
And if it rhymes with a duck.
And, yeah, it's pretty much a duck. Yeah, she goes down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dr. Fuentes, after that passionate remark, do you think the lady should be charged, or is it cool to do some stripping inside your own home when you're not bothering nobody?
Hmm. Oh, that's a good question. the reason why I'm saying that is because...
Well, stripping is one thing.
Well, you know, I agree with the part that you have to have a license to even sell liquor, first of all.
Right.
That is true. Second of all, it's illegal, first of all. It's totally illegal to be running any type of strip anywhere. I mean, I know that there are strip clubs, but, you know, you have to think about, you know, you're talking about a minor was present. You're talking about the age. You're talking about the neighbors. You're talking about the destruction, the noise. You're talking about the, what do you call it, traffic, you know, that comes in and out of this place. There is also, you have to have a permit. You're talking about this is a home, a residence? No.
Right.
It's illegal. It's totally illegal. So, no, I think she should be accused. Absolutely.
Okay. Music Maven.
Well, this lady does not have any fans on this show. She definitely, you know, crossed a lot of lines, and just like everyone's saying, she broke a lot of laws. There's a reason why there's residential zoning and commercial zoning.
Right.
You live in a neighborhood with residential zoning because it's residential.
Exactly.
And having a minor in your house, I don't even know if she had children. I mean, I don't have all those facts, but I can't imagine what a life would be like living with her. You know, if you think about that, it's like, you know, pole dancing is not for the meek. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't want my kid to find out how to do that. Yeah, she really broke a lot of rules, and there are rules that other people have to abide by, and I don't know why she thinks she should. It's a privacy issue. If she was stripping in front of her husband in the bedroom and not inviting people in and selling drinks,
different
issue completely. Mm-hmm. But the minute she decided to make it a party or to call it a party and then start charging people to go to the party, I think, you know, she crossed the line. Mm-hmm. And down she goes.
Case number 7 that I'm going to deal with. Thanks to technology, you can soon purchase a diamond made from Michael Jackson's hair. The company Life Gem is taking a lock of Jackson's hair and producing it up to 10 half carats of diamonds. According to the CEO, they convert strands of Beethoven's hair into diamonds and sold them for $200,000. The process heats hair to 5,400 degrees, reduces it to carbon so it can be crystallized. The process takes 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
My question to the court, is this right or is this wrong? And it's the hair for Michael Jackson. They're talking about the little hair that he did have.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
I'm going to start with Dr. Fuentes on this one. I know you're like, wow.
I am, because this is my first time hearing about this. So.
Yes, me too.
You really got me on this, okay? All right. Oh, my God. Turned into diamonds? Okay.
Turned it into diamonds.
That's amazing. I'm not shocked with any type of scientific or technology of today. I am not shocked. As far as them making money off of something, I am totally not shocked. But that is ridiculous. I mean,
that's wrong. Okay.
It's just ridiculous to me. But of course, I am not shocked. You know, people will do whatever the nature they want to do. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think that it's ridiculous.
Paula.
You know, I am 54 years old, and we all remember the Jacksons coming out into the entertainment scene. Michael's death really hurt me for reasons we may be able to get into at some other time. And wow, people, I know I'm a capitalist. I am. And if I can see a way and find a way to make money, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I don't think that I would make money off of the remains of somebody dead.
Mm-hmm.
Not the physical remains of somebody dead. And I love him, and I would love to have something memorable. But then again, looking at it from a more spiritual plane, he's left me with a lot, too. Mm-hmm. No. And cubic zirconiums are made from, you know, other than their natural, you know, the natural coal. So you can make a cubic zirconium out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't surprise me, but I just never thought that the capitalist would sink so low.
Music maiden.
I got to say that I am shocked and sickened at how frequently people exploit this man.
Mm-hmm.
He is dead, and still he is being exploited. I cannot even imagine what it was like when he was alive and being exploited, because he's still a cash machine for people, and it just makes me sick that somebody would even think of something like that. Even if it was Beethoven or Mozart, it doesn't matter. You know, there's a respect that all cultures have for the dead,
yeah.
And there's a reason for that, because you're supposed to honor the fact that they lived and not profit from it.
Absolutely.
I think that person's hair should be turned into diamonds as well.
Dr. Fuentes, does it put you in mind of Darwin and the Tasmanians?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I was thinking of, how they just killed off a civilization because they thought they were the missing link.
Yeah.
Poor Tasmanians are saying, gosh, and you thought your people were going to rest while they were dead, and they're digging up dead bodies.
I swear.
Michael did do it to him, too.
I know.
But, you know, as I said, people do whatever the nature is. But, you know, if we're talking to something, here I go, I'm prolonging it, aren't I? No, I was going to say, in the times that we grew up, you know, there were things going on. But I think there's a limit to everything. And the limitations on things are not like they used to be.
Mm-mm.
The darling's girl chatted to me, where did they get his hair from? Afro or the process hair?
Good question.
Well, you want to know something? Actually, Michael was obsessive. I don't know how many of your viewers know this. Michael had Janet. I don't know how many children Janet has right now, but her baby, it was either her baby or Jermaine's first baby, when he babysat him, the first poop that they had in their diaper, he took the diaper and he put it inside a Ziploc bag and sealed it and put it in his safe.
Oh.
So Michael could have been that obsessive that he saved some of his hair. There's
he was definitely eccentric dude.
Yeah.
But I sure wouldn't want anybody walking through my house and seeing what I do all day.
And if you do turn it into diamonds, I would like to gain in the profit if I'm still living on it. Okay.
You know?
Case number 9. Woman allegedly runs over husband after argument.
Ooh.
The sheriff's office reported that the woman's husband disabled her truck and then walked to a nearby restaurant. Two people helped her fix the truck. Then she drove to follow her husband, who was on foot. Witnesses told police they saw the husband rolling away from the truck as the vehicle sped off. When they approached him, they reported they saw track marks on him. Okay. My question, this is a personal question. I just want to see how y'all react to this. Was Steve McNair getting shot? The boxer's wife allegedly got accused for killing him at first. And now this. Are y'all women mad about something? Since I got all the women on the line, and please don't get mad at me.
Wait a minute. Let me get my pickup truck.
I'm going to ask Dr. Fuentes first.
No. Okay, you're throwing something really outrageous, and you're good at it, too. Okay? I'm really having a good time with this because you are just obnoxious as you can be, pulling up all these things. Okay. That's ridiculous, all right? As far as you're talking about the scene and going to it, what did you say they ended up going where after this?
He was walking to a restaurant, and she got somebody to help her fix the truck. And as he was still walking there, she rolled up behind him and allegedly hit him, ran him over, and rolled out.
Okay, so she is in jail, I take it, right now?
She is charged with allegedly running over her husband. Yes, she is. And my question is, my question was just an off-the-wall question. What is wrong with all you women wanting to get even?
Okay, I was in a serious mode there for a second.
That's the wrong question to ask, I might add.
I know it was wrong, but I'm glad I'm on the phone with y'all.
For your own personal edification, huh?
For his safety.
Okay. Well, I mean, a lot of women are going off nowadays. You can't even say hi. Hi, what? You get hit?
Now, you know our answer is it doesn't make any sense to go all the way out like that. You know, I mean, you just, if you're that angry, get yourself together. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I am not the judge or who accused her and put her in jail. But if I were the judge, I'd probably just look at her like, did you actually do that? You know, because if you've gotten to the point where, remember I was talking about limitations? Yeah, if everyone thought about, if everything that you thought about today, or whether it was yesterday, you think your mentality is so crazy. You know, when you think of these crazy ideas, we all do, but do we actually put that to action? No, not. You know, and if you're upset about something, why can't you just get yourself together? It doesn't make sense. Don't do exactly everything you think about doing. If you're angry with someone that bad, pull away from them or rethink it. You're not supposed to take action out on anyone. Everyone deserves to live. Life is for living. You know, you're not supposed to take someone's life just because you got angry with them. You're not supposed to think about murdering or whatever the nature may be, hurting anyone or penalizing anyone just because you're angry. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Music Maven.
Well, I wonder where the heck the breakdown is, because it seems like there's a whole lot of anger on the planet right now, and a whole lot of people, men and women, sadly, and that are acting out in a scary way. You know, you've got kids that beat the crap out of each other. The idea of all the bullies in the schoolyards nowadays. It just seems like there's this pent up anger and I think it goes back to simple things like teaching a child table manners, so that when they grow up, they know how to behave in front of other people. You know, being quiet in church, having consequences, getting punished when, you know, you do something wrong. It just seems like people have gotten used to having their own way, that they act out like a 2-year-old for the rest of their lives because
like
there's no boundaries. Yeah, exactly, because there's no boundaries. And I don't even know when it all happened, but there's people don't say thank you anymore. They push you aside when they want to get ahead of you in line. I mean, it's just like, it's a crazy, you know, that's why people shop online, you know, who can take
Paula.
Right.
I'm going to say something. I think I can answer your question, kill two birds with one stone. First of all, I stopped going to weddings. Last wedding I went to, my niece was walking down the aisle. I stepped out the pew and looked out right in her face, and I looked at her. I said, you should have went to Disneyland. Because we're building our relationships. The foundation of our relationships, our intimate relationships, on our wrong freaking foundation. He looked good, gotta have him. I mean, if the relationship is built on sex or something else, as stupid and immaterial as that is, then it crumbles. You build a relationship on friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like the woman was angry with him, and naturally it had to do, it had something to do with fidelity, whether it was sexual fidelity or him being devoted and true to her as a husband, as she felt a husband should be. That's what prompted her to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that women who have a clear understanding of the foundation they build their relationship on go around doing crap like that. Okay, it's ludicrous. Okay, but you know what? I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised because I've seen some really weird stuff. And if you don't have sense enough to build a foundation that is very strong, I mean, you're going to build your house on something in the event, okay, earthquake comes, it's passing us by.
It's going to fall. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that, no, Taz, my brother, you don't have anything to worry about, especially if you're with someone that is very educated and aware, all right?
Praise God.
All right. I mean, let's build, let people, build your relationships, the foundations on something that's going to last.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you, Music Maven, as well as you, Dr. Fuentes. You know what? Old school needs to be back in the house and in force.
It does.
All right? Let's not let go of those values.
Absolutely.
Another thing that might have got her upset is that we have turned into a matriarchal society. I believe the 1940s gave men mobility, and they could do what they wanted to do, have a home and a wife back in the States and build another one out in Germany or Korea or something like that, and they're just acting a fool, whereas women just can't cope with the changing of the times. You know what? Be a poster child for abortion or something. Not even abortion, child pregnancy control or childbirth or something like that. Don't stop it. Just stop it.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right. And maybe
okay, that was case number 8. We're on case number 9, and we got 12 minutes left, so this will be the last one. I told you, we are long-winded on some of these
always
cases.
Always with night court.
Sorry.
It's like that every night court. Okay, this one, case number 9. An 11-year-old boy accused of trying to hijack two boys' scooters with a toy gun. The other boys were 10 and 8. Cincinnati police said the 11-year-old pulled out a toy gun and wanted to take one of the silver push scooters and then chase the boys away. The boy is now in juvenile center where he faces an August 7th hearing. The public defender doubts whether the boy understands the consequences of his actions. My question simply is, should he go down for this, or do they need to keep this real and understand the situation for what it is? I'm going with Paula first.
All right. Did you say how many years he's facing?
No, they just said he's facing a hearing.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, yeah, he needs to suffer the consequence of his actions. There's no doubt about that. And if it means going through the entire judicial system, then, yeah, he needs to do that. But also his mother and father, and I don't think that even depending on the state, that's not even a factor. I do believe that they are going to question the mother and the father. And should they be proven or suspected of being lax in their parenting skills, I hope they get their arms broken off and beaten in the head with me too, because that's something serious.
Music maker.
You know, I must be the only shocked person at everything I hear. I am constantly shocked.
That's okay.
What troubles me is a couple of things. First of all, he doesn't understand how to relate with other children. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
If he wants something, he goes and takes it. I don't know where he got that from. I'm not saying it's from his parents. Mm-hmm. It could be the TV. And I just say, mm-hmm. parents have got to rethink the way they raise their kids and not use that TV as a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really does put the wrong... It makes, you know, all of those violent acts look like a game.
Mm-hmm.
Church.
And their little minds really aren't all that good. Now, I think he should suffer a little... because you want him to remember,
right.
But he needs to be taught different skills,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think he's going to learn those skills if he's, you know, in a juvenile detention center for a very long time. He's going to learn the wrong skills,
mm-hmm.
and I would much rather see him with different people if it had been his parents, and I don't know, you know, if his parents are negligent or not, but, you know, he clearly needs help. So I vote for having him get help over a long incarceration for him, because he's a boy and he needs an opportunity to make things right.
Dr. Fuentes.
Well, I think they put him in the wrong facility, first of all. It should have been a mental institution.
I agree.
The second thing that I agree with both of you, I agree with Paula, I agree with Music Maven, is that parents have to take the responsibility for talking to the children. I mean, I've been around many parents, even being a teacher myself, that don't even talk to a child. They don't even have a conversation with their children, let alone how can common sense even kick in. If you're not even talking to your child, first of all, and you're letting, like you said, Music Maven was talking about television, you're letting all these gadgets and media and things like that babysit your children, what do you expect? You're going to have animals. You're going to have kids that act like, you know, just off the top, sporadically, off the top of, you know, whatever comes to their mind. They're going to do that. If you don't spend time being a parent, and I do agree with all of you, if you do not spend the time being a parent, and matter of fact, maybe there are parents that do not know what a parent is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. It's prevalent, yeah.
That's,
you know,
very true.
Second of all, I look at the child's mentality. He's only taking on whatever he was taught or shown. So,
or not taught.
That too.
Right.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at it as an overall picture. Is that, yes, I blame the parents for not even parenting. I also blame the parents for not even knowing what a parent is. And I blame the parents for not talking to the child about life itself, what to do. We were taught right from wrong.
Mm.
Yes, we were.
Well, evidently, this child was not taught right from wrong, not the right way.
Nope.
I agree. I'm going to go.
I don't think
he
worried about going home, though.
No.
I don't think he worried about going home and getting in trouble, because
no.
I know I would have been
absolutely
sweating it on the way home.
You were talking about repercussions, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over all the cases and give our verdicts. The first case where the man was cheating with another lady during 9/11 and his wife called him to see if he was all right, and he hadn't heard the news on anything, and he was lying, saying he was at work when he was supposed to be on the 103rd floor, and it got blew up. We all agreed it's good he's alive. We didn't agree with what he did. We agreed it's good he's alive. The second case with Dr. Conley being the last doctor with Michael Jackson, and we decided he should not be the only one to go down. The third one with Michael Vick, as far as him being reinstated into the National Football League, we ruled he served his time, so he should play. Number four, the case with the teen driving deaths in Texas. We all agreed with this, it should be a law in every state. We agreed on the restrictions and everything. Number five, with the case concerning James Crawley, the Cambridge police officer, and the Harvard scholar, Mr. Gates, we all agreed that it was overreacting on everyone's part. Number six, the woman accused of running a strip club in the basement.
How about you email me?
And we all agreed she should go down, having $1 Jell-O shots posted on the wall and things of that nature. Number seven, the technology about getting Michael Jackson's hair and using it to make diamonds, we all agreed is dead wrong. It's just wrong to capitalize off of someone who's passed away. Woman allegedly runs over husband after argument. We found this whole situation just stupid. Everybody agreed that it was stupid. And the last one, where the little boy that's 11 years old hijacked two other boys for a scooter. The parents should be responsible, and the young man still needs to be punished. Mm-hmm. I want to thank my guests, Dr. Fuentes, Music Maven, and Paula Patton-Ross. I don't know, usually me and Paula are the only two that be on Night Court on every one. And this was more enlightening than a lot of the other night courts. Wouldn't you agree, Paula?
Yeah, most definitely.
So we might need to invite these two back again when we do night court again, because I pick different subjects and try to open everybody's eyes to some of the different news that we don't normally catch unless you're just on the internet surfing for it.
Offbeat, yeah.
I see.
Well, I had a great time. I had a really good time.
I did too.
Yeah. I told you last week you would. I like to tell it court.
Yeah, and I want you to, again, Dr. Fuentes, tell the listening audience where they can get your book and get in contact with you.
Well,
that way Paula can hear it too.
Okay, the book is called Autism, and for the sake of autistic people, because I know mentally, you know, how they think and how the waves of their brains operate, is the reason why I named it Autism. It's simple. To find my book, you can find it on Amazon, anyamazon.com, and as well as any other online retailers, you can find it there. But if you go to Blog Talk, www.blogtalkradio.com/dr for doctor, and dash, and then Fuentes, F-U-E-N-T-E-S, you will find every link to tie into my book from there.
Right.
Also, Music Maven, tell Paula and the rest of the listeners, the audience, what you do and how to get in contact with you as well.
Okay, well, if you want to email, it's musicmaven@risingstarartists.com, and artist is plural. My Blog Talk Radio show is /musician-edition, that's E-D-I-T-I-O-N, and also at risingstarartist.com. And I hope if you know any struggling artists, I'd be happy to give them some help and some free support and airplay, too.
Great.
Okay.
And Paula, tell them what you do.
All right.
Oh, you are doing now.
yeah, well, most of your listeners, your regular listeners, know that I'm in the process of developing a network that's going to go straight to television. It's called Namaste Broadcasting. And namastebroadcasting.com or .net, it doesn't make any difference. You can go and see what it is we're about to do. It's an online right now network that's based on health and wellness and spirituality. I'm wearing a lot of hats. I'm juggling the production of two CDs at the same time, and into formatting my another book for publication. Anyway, you can learn more about me on MySpace or Facebook. That's MySpace/Namaste. That's NAAHMASTE. Or Facebook, Paula and Patton Ross, I believe. I don't know. But Kaz, if you don't have the information on your blog post station, let me know and I'll put it up there so your subscribers and listeners can get to me that way. It was really, really great meeting you, Dr. Fuentes, and talking to you again.
Same here.
Yeah, thank you.
And it was good having y'all on because y'all were very enlightening.
Yeah,
and like I said, long-winded, which I love. That way I don't have to write them many questions.
Good question.
Thank God.
It really got us going.
And ladies' night rules, that's what I got to say.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Next week I will be doing the No Spins, which is 2 hours. So, Paula, you don't have to call in unless you want to listen, because I'm going to be playing some stuff a lot of people just don't really hear, and from a lot of my friends that I'm friends with around the United States. So it'll be 2 hours of just No Spins, and then we'll go back into interviewing in another 2 weeks from now.
All right.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace out.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.